this is the president. Hello, this is the president of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Quit shaming."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up.
Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
Give up. Quit shaming. Quit shaming. Quit shaming.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Tonight we have a special Ground Zero, and more or less a tribute to the late, great Ozzy Osbourne. But a lot of topics about the man, because he is most certainly an enigma. And I got to thinking about this morning. You know, yesterday when I heard the news he had passed away, I was saddened by it. I didn't want to talk much about it. Because, again, it's like when Bowie died or when Prince died. It was like you never think of these guys dying. You think of they're eternal. I mean, look at Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. They're eternal. Look at Paul McCartney, eternal. And then Ozzy Osbourne. So yesterday I was in my car. And, gosh, everywhere you went, from the soft music stations to whatever, everybody was playing an Ozzy Osbourne song. I was listening to, there was a tribute that was being had. They said they were going to play it throughout the evening, play some Ozzy Osbourne songs. He died at the age of 76. He did a farewell concert. He did that weeks ago. He did it with Black Sabbath. It was their last concert. And, you know, when I was watching it, I watched bits and pieces of it on the internet, and I was thinking that this was the last time. Because of, even though Ozzy gave it his best, he certainly was frail and, sitting in a huge throne looking all evil and weird. But, you know, I got this eerie feeling, though, as I was watching it, that this would be Ozzy's living funeral. In fact, we were calling it Weekend at Ozzy's, because it just, he left the world as a rock legend and a superstar. But he was one who was always shadowed in mystery because of the rumors that persisted that he was a devil worshiper, right? Ozzy Osbourne is known as many things. He was, he was in a TV show called The Osbournes where he was playing, he was a doting father. He was in Black Sabbath. He was solo. But one of the things that most people, I mean, the minute you say Black Sabbath, someone will say, well, I'm a Christian and I won't have anything to do with this. But the thing is that what is very contradictory is that there was this relationship that Black Sabbath had, that Ozzy had, with themes of heaven, hell, God, Satan, salvation, and judgment. And we know that much of his public persona and a lot of his lyrics were steeped in dark, controversial, or provocative imagery. Being a lover of horror movies, I loved the aesthetic of Black Sabbath. Even though many judge Sabbath as a satanic band, Ozzy and his colleagues not only wrote and produced religious songs, but also songs about good and evil, spiritual warfare, and the afterlife. There's actually a song called After Forever that was written by Geezer Butler, one of the bandmates of Ozzy's. I want to play you a little bit of After Forever, and I want you to listen to the lyrics because it's really interesting how they put this together, and it's a religious song. Listen to it. See, there you go. That's Black Sabbath, Master of Reality album, the song After Forever, a religious song. In fact, the whole thing talking about salvation, the whole thing talking about what are you doing with your life? We'd like to see the Pope hanging from a rope, or do you want to, you know, do you want to get with the program and see the light? And that's why I just found it interesting that when I first was turned on to Black Sabbath, I heard that before I even realized that, you know, a lot of what they did was pretty scary. I mean, you look at their albums, they had a lot of iconography that was considered scary or whatever. But, yeah, could it be you're afraid of what your friends might say if they knew you believe in God above? That's what's said in the song. Could it be you're afraid of what your friends might say if you believed in the God above? Have you ever thought about your soul? Can it be saved? Or perhaps you think that when you're dead, you just stay in your grave? Is God just a thought within your head, or is he part of you? Is Christ just a name that you read in a book when you're in school? When you think about death, do you lose your breath, or do you keep your cool? Would you like to see the Pope on a rope? Do you think he's a fool? Well, I've seen the truth. Yes, I've seen the light, and I've changed my ways. And I'll be prepared when you're lonely and scared at the end of our days. Could it be you're afraid of what your friends might say if they knew you believe in God above? They should realize before they criticize that God is the only way to love. If your mind's so small, you have to fall in with the pack wherever they run, will you still sneer when death is near and say they may as well worship the sun? I think it was true. It was people like you that crucified Christ. I think it is sad. The opinion you had was the only one voiced. Will you be so sure when your day is near? Are you going to say you don't believe? You had the chance, but you turned it down. Now you can't retrieve. Perhaps you'll think before you say that God is dead and gone. Open your eyes. Just realize that he is the one, the only one who can save you now from all this sin and hate. Or will you still be still jeering at all you hear? Yeah, I think it's too late. With lyrics like this, isn't it weird that we had to hide our Black Sabbath records from our parents? It's because they looked evil, but their songs, a lot of them, dealt with salvation, heaven, hell, and death. They were certainly, well, arguably, one of the most, if not Christian, most religious bands that ever existed. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Looking back at the work of Ozzy Osbourne, who died at 76 yesterday. 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero tonight, a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath. And the intrigue that I'm seeing on the internet, the questions that I'm seeing being asked about Black Sabbath, I have never in my life, I mean, the internet is still a buzz about his death, but it's buzzing not just about the fact that Ozzy contributed a lot to music, okay, not just Black Sabbath, but also his solo stuff and stuff that he's done with other people like Lita Ford and and you know, just name a few. He's done a lot of work with them. Just people have been asking questions about whether or not Ozzy Osbourne is going to be saved. I'm very intrigued by that because I have never seen that happen with any particular band or singer or anything except him. I think either we want him to be saved or people are being cruel and counterintuitive about the man and then whether or not, you know, his image was who he was. Okay. And I know that Ozzy was known as the Prince of Darkness, but everybody is asking, and I come across this every time I'm reading anything about Ozzy. Did Ozzy believe in God? And, you know, of course, it'd be almost counterintuitive to think that someone with this dark heavy metal brand would be religious, but Osbourne shed a light on his religious beliefs. He's been in many interviews. And, you know, even before he died, he was having interviews with people because people were concerned about his belief in God and whether or not he was a believer or a follower or any of that. Now, I don't know if that matters, but here's a little interview that he did on Audacity about his religious beliefs.
In some statements that this could be your last big full-blown tour.
The reason why, if you notice on this album, No More Tears, it's just a nice picture, it's a simple title, it's not called The Devil Rides Out.
There's actually wings on your back.
Yeah, it's kind of
angelic.
All along the line, it's been tongue-in-cheek with me, you know, and so many people have got the wrong side of me. And it's like, I thought, well, I want to change, you know, but my image won't allow me to.
Yeah.
So I have to stop and do another project, and that includes in the new project. I don't know who's going to be with me. This band is folding at the end of this tour, because Zach's going to do his own thing, and I believe Randy's going to go with Zach, and then whatever. But I want to do like more different kinds of things, because people think of Ozzy is I bite the heads off creatures, I urinate of national monuments. And upset cardinals and cause kids to kill themselves, which is not the case.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, when Cardinal O'Connor made that statement, I just got down his back because I just couldn't believe that.
I mean,
what does he know about rock and roll?
You know, a lot of the thing is that I people don't take this wrongly, but I think a lot of these people wish they had as many people in their churches as we do rock and roll concerts. I'm not against the church at all, you know.
No.
But all I ever wanted to do was have a lot of fun with people. I believe in God. I don't go to church, but I don't think you have to. You have to go to church to believe in God.
Do you agree with that? You don't have to go to church to believe in God. That's what Ozzy said when he was in that interview. He has said time and time and again that he's a religious man. He's a very good father. We've seen how he treats his children. We've seen these reality shows with Ozzy. But the song I played, Ozzy saying this, but still people are intrigued about whether or not he is going to hell or heaven. I really didn't think about that until I read all this stuff. Like, let me see if I can find. I was looking over some stuff that really had me. Okay, here's one from Reddit. Where is it? Oh, I'll find it in a bit. But it was really interesting that people asking these questions. Okay. Oh, here it is. Okay. A slightly weird question. This is from a person in Reddit. A slightly weird question. Hope it's not against the rules. Ozzy Osbourne passed away this week, and many of us Catholics also listen to or familiar with rock and metal. Is it reasonable to pray for repose of Ozzy's soul, given his entire brand of anti-religion and his constant toying with evil imagery? I'm aware he's made several statements in interviews that he believes in God, and that at the end of the day, of course, we're all sinners. But would it be weird or disingenuous to pray for Ozzy's soul, or say, maybe offer a mass for his soul? Someone in my own Facebook page wrote, Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 27, has happened. He is now finding out the contract he made with the devil. He's paying off. He's paying it off in him screaming forever, and he regrets ever getting involved with it. Don't sell your soul for fame and fortune. It's not worth it. Jesus is the only answer. So I find this interesting. And I don't know. It just blows me away. There's so many people have concern for one man's soul, an entertainer's soul, a person who has entertained us for generations. I mean, I know that Ozzy is not the best example of a Christian, but he had a degree of faith. He had an allegiance to God that he swore to. And many of the songs on Black Sabbath albums were talking with redemption, talking about redemption, talking about heaven and hell, talking about whether you believe in Jesus or believe in God. And so, I mean, there were just so many things that were going through my mind when I kept reading this stuff going on about people who are intrigued about whether or not he's going to, you know, lose his soul to the devil. And, I mean, he would quip occasionally about, he said something about, what did he say? He said something about having the inside advantage with the devil. It was during the COVID-19 pandemic. He didn't get COVID. And so he jokingly said, well, there are some advantages to, you know, being a devil worshiper, he laughed. He says it has its good points. And, of course, this along with the fact that Ozzy has two smiley faces tattooed on his kneecaps. I mean, what does that tell you about Ozzy? I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, Black Sabbath, the devil, maybe it's a big misunderstanding. Maybe it's laughable. I don't know if anybody finds it laughable, but Black Sabbath have, over time, they've had a lot of references condemning or at most anxiously respecting Satan, but they do not advocate that people should follow the opposing force. They should follow God. They should follow that there's one monotheistic God, not monotheistic religion, but one God. And, you know, believe it or not, it's been said that most of the band were good Catholic boys. I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say that Black Sabbath was the first Christian metal band, but since there is a difference between true faith and lordship and the mere reference to Christian truth and rather a couple lyrics, you know, you got to understand that maybe a lot of people out there are wrong about Black Sabbath, wrong about Ozzy Osbourne. And why would they want to pray for his soul if he was doing his best to warn us? What are your thoughts? 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Going down memory lane with Ozzy Osbourne, who passed away yesterday, and doing a little tribute too at the same time. And why are people so intrigued about his salvation? I'm just curious. 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Of darkness, evil, fucking evil. I've had a buttload of fucking bubbles.
Do you want a burrito, Joe?
Sure. I actually don't want a burrito. I just ate earlier.
No. Weak signal. That's about all. What I'm on myself. That weak signal.
Jack, can you get this television to work?
I'm a very simple man. You gotta have like computer knowledge to turn the TV on and off.
My philosophy of being a parent is to be rigorously honest. If the kids, when they say, where do babies come from, Dad? And I'm going, they come from a box at the bottom of the garden. Like, if there's something that's got to be said, it's said.
Ozzy, what do you do when you are home? Do you try to be like, the time that you do spend at home, do you really try like to participate? Do you go to PTA meetings? Do you meet the teachers?
The thing is, it's very difficult being a telephone father because you miss them so much. And when I come back from being on tour or being away for such a long time, I tend to be like Santa Claus. I bring them gifts because of the fact that I haven't been there on a daily basis to be their father. You know, I mean, I adore my kids. And so it's like, I get like a shopping list over the phone. I want a tank. I want to look like a desert rat, or I want a doll.
Clyde Lewis, you're listening to our tribute to Ozzy Osbourne tonight. I think that the reason why this is so important is because what Ozzy represented. And everybody's always represented demons in hell. No, he represented the Ground Zero spirit, I think. The idea that you need to explore God and you need to explore the other side. Not necessarily giving your soul to the devil, but understanding the enemy, understanding those who are wishing to bring you down, and Ozzy did that. Ozzy, Black Sabbath, I mean, arguably a religious band, you know, a religious band from Birmingham. Who knows? I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it's clear. And I'm also confused as to why so many people on the internet right now are praying for his soul, thinking that he's going to hell. I mean, Ozzy said himself that he doesn't think he's perfect, and Ozzy said himself he did a lot of bad things, and hopefully that God has grace. Well, I mean, nobody will tell people that they're perfect. Nobody will say that they're perfect. Nobody will say that they've done great things in their lives, that there are always that those moments where you're going to meet with God and you're going to have a misunderstanding or something's going to go wrong here. But, I mean, if you notice what he was doing later in his life, the charities that he contributed to, the thoughts he had about God, and some say he even became a born-again Christian, these are the things that I find interesting in how people still, you know, from the satanic panic days, are hanging on to this notion that Ozzy is the devil. And I don't know. It's kind of a strange thing. Let's go to Kevin in Montana. Hey, Kevin, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. It's great to be with you on the radio.
Thank you.
There is no doubt that Ozzy Osbourne, in my mind, was psychotic.
Oh.
There is no doubt that he was possessed at times, but ultimately, I don't know if he's going to be saved or not. That's between him and God. At the end of the day, I don't know.
Right. So you think that it wasn't an act? Do you think that he was? You think he was truly psychotic? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you feel that way? Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, biting the heads off of a dove and a business meeting and a bat. I mean, that's just,
well, you know what
crazy
happened with that bat story? It's always been the story that he was up on stage, and somebody threw a bat up on stage, and he thought it was a rubber bat, he said, and he bit the head off of it. And then he found out it was real, then he had to get rabies shots, and he said he didn't like that because he had no idea that he bit that off a bat. The dove thing, though, was during a record executive meeting, and I don't even understand why he did that. Why he, you know, he did a lot of things probably when he was drugged out of his mind and drunk, you know, the whole Alamo situation. Where, uh-huh, you know, and also snorting ants with Motley Crue. That was another thing that, you know, these are the things that were faults with him. They were problems. But are they punishable by God? That's the question. I mean, is God going to punish him for, you know, urinating on the Alamo? Is God going to punish him for, you know, some of these things? That is using that kind of iconography in order to make a point, is that something that God doesn't approve of, do you think? Or is it something that, I mean, because iconography is how we interpret it. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think he would, just because Ozzy was a bad, in my opinion, just a bad example. You know, Black Sabbath, and I don't know the lyrics to all this. I'll admit, though, I like a lot of Ozzy's music. I'll admit.
Yeah, I really does.
He's very talented.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's no one like Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy is a...
Oh, no.
Yeah, nothing like Ozzy. That's the truth.
But, you know, I just think at the end of the day, I never even questioned whether he's going to be saved or not. That's really, that's between him and God.
Why do you think so many people, though, on the internet are concerned about his salvation?
Well, I think because he was with Black Sabbath, I think he was, like you said, the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah. Well, those are all monikers he was given because of his style and his music, but a lot of the music that Black Sabbath did was pretty religious, I thought.
Well, it's interesting, though, that he did do a song called See You on the Other Side. That shows me maybe he was doing soul-searching. Obviously, he had a lot on his mind. I think that might have been an album where he was soul searching. He obviously had something happen to inspire him to write that song. So maybe he was seeking God. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing, is that we took the journey with Ozzy, and that's what makes it even special. I think a lot of people are hoping for his salvation because of how wonderful and how talented Ozzy really was. Let's go to Seth in Florida. Hey, Seth, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I mean, I think if you're... it's hard for me to imagine anyone over the age of, like, 15 seeing... You know, most of it is more of an act, you know, a gimmick.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done music videos for, like, death metal bands, and they're, like, the nicest people in the world, but you see the stage show, it's, you know, it's crazy. But, I mean, it's sort of like explaining professional wrestling to somebody.
Yeah.
And it's that same sort of, you know, glossed over thing. And all the sort of satanic bands, or let's say gothic bands as well.
Yeah.
There's always a real connection with Christianity.
Yes.
You know, they use a lot of the same symbols. You know, it's sort of interwoven, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's ever really been something that Ozzy did that was particularly evil. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that
I mean,
warrant
he did some
salvation.
Outrageous things, but, you know, he never was caught in a hotel room with a kid, or, I mean, he wasn't, none of that stuff went on in his life.
Yeah.
He was a good dad. He treated his family well. Yeah. I think the only thing that would be questionable is, and then like was said earlier, I mean, being a psychotic, I guess, I mean, he did at one time, this is when he decided he wanted to clean his act up, he said that he was drunk, he was blacked out, and for some reason he wanted to kill Sharon. And Sharon says that that's exactly, she was fearful for her life. It was scary. Yeah. So, yeah.
But if snorting ants is, you know, the bar, I'm in real trouble, you know.
Hey, there's a band I met that I was really surprised it was very Christian. You ever heard of Wednesday the 13th? Or Wednesday the 13th? Wednesday the 13th? Yeah, those guys are a bunch of Bible-thumping young kids that went out of Bible school and decided to be a heavy metal band. It was great to meet them.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you know that band, the Genitortures.
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah.
But I did videos for Jen, and, you know, her parents were Shriners.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'd be surprised at the backgrounds of some of these death metal bands. It's so true. A lot of them are just, you know, they get it out of their system. They have this darker side they want to get out of their system, and they do it with music, and they do it with art. And I don't think that's wrong. I don't think it's satanic at all. Ozzy did it. Everybody else does it. 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Tonight, it's Ozzy Osbourne. We'll be back. Let's go to Mark in Michigan. Hey, Mark, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man? Go ahead.
So this whole Ozzy Osbourne thing, I think that he's fine so far as being saved. I was raised Catholic, and my parents were kind of like, you know, against the whole Ozzy Osbourne thing because, you know, they didn't want me to. But so far as I listen to music. I've been listening to it since I was 10, and I've seen nothing wrong with what he said. The only reason that people might think he's weird is because of some of the stuff he did. And to me, he puts on an act apart from his social life. So, like, when he goes out on stage, what he does is an act.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, oh, he's a devil worshiper or something like that. No, it's just an act.
When I saw Ozzy, I saw him before I had my first cancer surgery. I saw him with Rob Zombie, and then I saw an orchestra play after that. So I was getting my feet of heavy metal and getting my feet of orchestra and classical rock, classical music. And it was funny because I remember Ozzy. He was great. He performed. He was awesome. And then they had pyrotechnics and fireworks. Ozzy was so terrified that he crawled under the drum kit. I remember watching him do that. And I was thinking, that guy, you know, he's getting older and he's getting He's getting, you know, scared of his own explosions. So I didn't think of him as, you know, big devil scary guy. I mean, it was at first because of what he looks like when he's going around being the madman on stage. But in the end, I realized, oh my God, he's just a guy that's afraid of his own fireworks. It was just weird the way I saw him, you know, the way he was presented to me.
Right. Yeah. And I, the whole him giving to charity, you know, I don't think he's trying to buy like his salvation. I think he's just generally a kind guy.
Well, obviously he's humble. I mean, you've heard him in a lot of his interviews. You know, he's very humble. He's a family man. He loves life, obviously. I mean, you know, here's a guy who even has a sense of humor about himself. I saw him, his son Jack and him sat down for a personal performance of Mack Sabbath, which is a band that parodies Black Sabbath and sings songs about McDonald's. So I just, So, I mean, you know, if Ozzy can do that, you know, he's got a sense of humor about himself. There's so many things about him that when people say things like, you know, will he burn in hell or should we pray for his salvation? I'm wondering, why? Why would anybody care so much? And it's either because he made that much of an influence and impact on music, or it's because, you know, people just want to be cruel and judgmental and smirky. And I don't know. Let's go to Brady in Arizona. Hey, Brady, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, right on, Clyde. You mentioned that one song was kind of more of a Christian song that he was talking about earlier. But you got to remember on, like, War Pigs, you know, with those generals gathered in their masses.
Yeah.
Like, which is that black masses?
Yeah, well, they're generals plotting your death, like witches at black masses.
Yeah, but then you go to, like, Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, a song that made fun of Aleister Crowley.
It goes, your lifestyle seems so tragic, the thrill of it all.
Yeah, it's basically, the song was a sarcastic view of Aleister Crowley. That's when he wrote it.
A lot of that stuff, though, I mean, if you look at all his imagery and stuff, I know it's a lot of a showmanship type of thing, but a lot of it comes down to Satanism and witchcraft and Babylonic magic.
Are you trying to tell me that, you know, I know that imagery is interesting. We've talked about iconography on the show. You know, we've talked about it, you know, many times with Ryan Gable and everything, but just the symbolism alone, if it is in front of you, do you think that influenced you in a satanic way?
Well, you got to look like when you hold their hands up, everybody holds up like a hang loose sign with their hands up. That's the devil's horn. That's been known for since the 1970s. When you put your hands up like that, you're doing the salute to the devil. When you went to their concert, that's what everybody was doing. They're banging their heads.
You know that. You know that in other parts of the world, that symbol means to ward off evil. You know that, right?
Yeah.
True.
Not in Babylonic text. That doesn't
What
mean
Babylonic
that.
Text? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's in reference to Baphomet himself.
What, doing that?
The horns, yes. Baphomet.
No, it's not even connected to Baphomet.
Straight up.
No,
call the
not.
Devil, whoever you are.
No. It was there to ward off witches. That's what that symbol does. It's supposed to be death and destruction to witchcraft. That's what it represents.
Well,
and then they've turned it, Christian people have turned it into a devil symbol, saying it's of the devil. I remember they used the cornu symbol all the time when I was in South America to ward off things like curanderos and other people. I mean, it just depends on where you are. You know, they don't even have a Friday the 13th in South America. They have Wednesday the 12th or something. It just, you know, different traditions are different. And so putting all your faith into something that is like, you know, subjective at best... I don't know. I mean, if you want to do that, I mean, I will agree with you. Yes, there were a lot of iconography that would be considered evil and evil looking and satanic. But hey, you know, you look at the churches, you know, they have gargoyles that look like demons on them. I mean, are we going to reject God because of that?
You know, one thing, when you're always saying God, one person's meaning of God is completely different. You're saying like the people that are Catholic, okay, that's God. They think God is Christ.
Yeah.
Well, you might take somebody, God in Israel, that could be Moloch. You know, you got all different things. You got the Roman Catholic Church praying to Dagon, a fish god, and everybody else is following along with it. That's the problem that we have today.
So you think that Ozzy Osbourne contributed to Satanism in this world? That's what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sure he had. I'm sure he delved into it quite a bit. You can just look at the music and how it is. He certainly was not no Christianic.
Well, I knew a woman named Jinx who was the head of the band Coven. You ever heard of the band Coven?
They
sang
so.
The song One Tin Soldier. Everybody loved that song. Well, they were a satanic band, and she knew Ozzy, and she said Ozzy was not a Satanist at all. But she was. Jinx was a Satanist. She was.
Can you imagine how long, if Ozzy went to confession, how long he was at the preacher's office there?
No, I don't think he has a lot to confess myself. I mean, yeah, he probably did a lot of rock star things, but I mean, every rock star does rock star things. When you got enough power, you kind of go crazy. But if you notice, he tempered himself. And as was said earlier, he was probably searching for God, searching for some sort of grace or solace. I mean, he was very much concerned about that till he died, I think. I don't think he contributed, I mean, nothing satanic to the world. In fact, they were trying to draw attention to the evil of God, evil of Satan, and how God does change things. I mean, I played that song, and I don't know, did that faze you at all that they were talking about God? And even the song God is Dead that they put out later was talking about how, are you worshiping the God above, or are you rejecting him? If so, God is dead. You know, they were very religious.
You know, I guess what I look at is, you know, I listened to that music for 40 years. I just go along with whatever it is. I don't let it influence me like it's evil or bad. It's just music.
Well, okay, this contradicts what you just said, though, okay? You're saying that he may have contributed to Satanism, but now you're saying you don't let this stuff influence you.
I can see where the direction of his music goes. If you just look at the lyrics, there's so much lyrics that are written about the devil and Satanism in there. It's all over Black Sabbath. It's all over.
Well, there's a lot of God in Black Sabbath, too. You got to remember that.
You got to remember what God is it. If it's not Yahweh,
it's not even Yahweh, okay? I mean, there's only salvation through Jesus Christ. And this whole Yahweh Yeshua thing is
father,
it just that makes you cooler than the room if you say that, in my opinion. I don't see why people think that, oh, I'm cooler in the room if I say Yahweh, no way, or Yeshua, or, you know, no, Jesus Christ. What's wrong with saying Jesus Christ? Are you uncool for saying that? I don't get it. I've always been I wonder about that. You know, I wonder about a lot of things. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make me better than anyone else. Just makes me wonder why this has to be the way it is. So, okay, we got one saying that he contributed to Satanism in this world. Okay, we'll see how everybody else feels as we do our tribute to Ozzy Osbourne, a man that, in my opinion, was the epitome of Ground Zero topics and God, revelation, and salvation. We'll be back with more. Don't go away.
Darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up! An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you. An eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So I have a routine every day. At least I keep the routine. It's been hot. I don't have air conditioning in my car. It's, the air conditioning went out of the car, and of course it's been hot the past few days. And I have this ritual I do every afternoon of driving from the lot where I park to a place called Dutch Brothers. A Dutch Brothers is a coffee kiosk. It's just planted right there near my home. It's right next to a Dairy Queen. And so I go there and I get a sugar-free blended mocha, double chocolate with raspberry. It's really good. It's all sugar-free, so I don't feel bad about having it because I'm trying to cut sugar from my diet. I'm doing a pretty good job of it, losing weight in the process. But every time I go to Dutch Brothers, I go there every day, so they know me as a regular. They know me by name. They know that I do a talk show, and they know that it talks about the paranormal and the strangeness and everything. And today I went in, and the girl says to me, "So what are you talking about tonight?" And I said, "Well, I'm talking about Ozzy Osbourne. He passed away yesterday, and I didn't talk about it last night, but I'm going to talk about it tonight." And they said, "Who?" And I just immediately felt like my heart had sunk down to my ankles. And I said, "Ozzy Osbourne, the lead singer of Black Sabbath." "Who?" They didn't know who he was. So I asked the kid that was behind her, "Do you know who Ozzy Osbourne?" "No, I don't know who Ozzy Osbourne is." "No, I don't know." So all these young kids, and they had to have been, 15, maybe 16, didn't know who Ozzy was. And although I have seen generation after generation, and I said, "Well, you know, in order to understand why Ozzy is such an important topic in my life is because when we were kids, there was a little something called Satanic Panic, and it's something that it sticks with us from the time that they wanted us to change to actually put stickers on record albums warning people of bad language to, you know, the hearings about the mothers that had the hearings and the idea that we were told we get flyers. You know, we'd leave from Sunday school, we'd get flyers saying there's a special meeting that the church elders want to talk to you about. And that meeting was to sit you down and talk about how Satan has marked a shift in societal attitudes. And that ever since Anno Satanas, Anton LaVey, Age of Satan, all of a sudden everybody was like freaked out thinking that Satan was everywhere. And so, of course, you know, they lived through a lot of horrible things like civil rights, rock and roll, of course, massively popular, hippies everywhere. And, of course, the Church of Satan was a reflection of society rejecting traditional values. There was actually a magazine, Time magazine, asked the question, "Is God dead?" That same magazine was seen in Rosemary's Baby. And so, you know, the beliefs kept piling on and on and on and on. And people were worried that heavy metal music contained lyrics which encouraged people to do bad things. And it all came to a head in 1985 when 20-year-old James Vance tried to sue Judas Priest. After a night of partying, Vance and his friend, 18-year-old Raymond Belknap, headed for a local playground and shot themselves. Belknap wouldn't survive the incident, but Vance would go on. He filed a lawsuit against Judas Priest because he claimed the subliminal messaging in their song Stained Glass drove him to kill, or to kill himself, or to try to anyway. He blew his face off. It was just an ugly thing to see. Well, of course, the band and the record label would avoid any legal responsibility for the tragedy, but they were even pointing to songs like Suicide Solution, song that Ozzy sang, which was a anti-alcohol. I mean, the guy was going through, you know, rehabilitation. But they were going through, they were putting us in meetings suggesting that there are warnings of content, sex, violence, drugs, alcohol, the occult. There were, most of the songs were metal, Motley Crue, Twisted Sister, Wasp, Black Sabbath. They even went after Styx, saying that Styx was, you know, a band that was named after the river that goes to Hades. AC/DC, of course, was, you know, aligned with Antichrist, Devil's Children, or, you know, just the idea that there was this whole idea that they made up stuff to scare you into thinking that heavy metal was the devil's work. And Ozzy, of course, he was one of them that were shown as one of the, I guess, the Filthy 15. One of the guys that was picked out as being very satanic, the way he performed, what he did. And I think that's another reason why, and one of the reasons why I'm doing this tribute, is that, yeah, there was Black Sabbath, there was Ozzy, and yes, he came off as being, you know, evil, and what was said, you know, actually about the iconography, yes, that was there. But, you know, and like I said, we played lyrics to a Black Sabbath song that sounded like Christian rock. But see, there's a difference between truth, faith, and the mere reference to Christian truth. And a lot of people on the internet right now are concerned about Ozzy Osbourne's salvation. And I often wonder why. I'm wondering why this is so important that one person, I have never seen so many people ask the question as to why, you know, Ozzy is on everybody's mind right now. Because Ozzy, of course, he was a Christian, not a very good Christian, okay? But he was struggling like all the other ones, and he had vested himself in a gothic persona, got him a label. He was called the Prince of Darkness. But see, the devil, if he was doing a good job keeping Ozzy alive, he was really, really giving him bad health issues. In a press conference, he revealed that he'd been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and while before that, he had to undergo surgery related to a nasty fall, where he contracted fatal staph infection, potentially fatal staph infection. But undaunted, he kept working right up to his death. Died yesterday, died just weeks after they performed in Birmingham and in England. And, you know, there seemed to be this upswell of respect for Ozzy after his death. But I started to notice that there was also an upswell of Christians posting on the internet condemning Ozzy to hell, holding him in judgment because of his so-called peddling of evil images and his madman persona. During a 1989 interview, Ozzy denied claims he worshipped the devil, saying, "I'm not into Satanism. I'm not a devil worshipper. I have never been involved in black magic personally at all." Yet with all the judgmental Christians on Facebook, you would think that the poor man was thrown directly to hell when he died. Because others speculate that he repented on his deathbed, or if he did repent on his deathbed, would God save him? Or was there no hope for Ozzy Osbourne? These are some crazy things I've been reading on the internet about Ozzy. Why the concern about Ozzy's salvation is beyond me. But it's worthy of talking about when we give tribute to the great Ozzy Osbourne, Ozzy the Great and Powerful. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Clyde Lewis, you're listening to Ground Zero, a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne, who died yesterday at the age of 76, Parkinson's disease, among other things. But he managed to do a concert, like weeks before, with Black Sabbath, all the way to the beginning, they say. It was a great show. Ozzy certainly put his heart and soul into it. and passed away. Kind of, you know, we're missing another icon. It's like when I talked about Bowie, when I talked about Prince, when I talked about their views on life and what they do. They certainly are entertainers, and they used a lot of esoterics to do their entertaining. Some people see it as satanic. Other people see it as opening our minds to new ideas. And, of course, a lot of people praying for Ozzy and his salvation for some reason. I don't understand that, but maybe somebody can give me a reason why. Let's go to Chuck in Washington. Hey, Chuck, you're on Ground Zero.
So my personal story with Ozzy Osbourne, even though I've never talked to him or seen him live or anything like that.
Yeah.
He is, in my opinion, he was had a lot to do with the satanic panic. He was a figurehead in that whole thing, that whole projection that the Christian right at that point in time wanted to have happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I was probably only, I think, 4, 5, or 6 when this happened. And so I only learned from Ozzy Osbourne about a negative, you know, in a negative sense. But then, like in 1993, I started listening to KFO 101.1 in Portland, and I heard a Menage a Trois Weekend with Ozzy Osbourne, and it totally defiled me.
Defiled you?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that, defiled you?
Because I was like, you know, maybe he's a minister. Maybe he's a minister, a spiritual minister. I don't think he's religious, but right. There's a difference between religion and spirituality, and I think that Ozzy Osbourne was more on the spiritual end of things. And yeah. I look at him as in this path that we have to walk down in life, we often have these things that we come up to and go, what is this? And
Then
it makes us have a choice, or it forces us to make a choice or look into things deeper. And I think that's what Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath and a lot of music that were inspired by these bands and these men and women that all supported them really are a gatekeeper into something that is deeper than one. Into an avenue of a shade of gray instead of a black and white.
It was, yeah, it was kind of like the idea that he was a realist, and he put everything into that realism, both good and evil, and every iconographic thing that he could, to show people this is what is going on. Life, death, struggles, salvation struggles, struggles with alcohol, struggles with drugs. All these things were in his music. And then eventually he came to get a direction in his life. He swore off drugs and alcohol. He was more of a family man. He loved his family. And it showed in his songs. I mean, you know, songs like I'm Going Through Changes and Mama, I'm Coming Home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All these songs were based on love and respect. And, you know, what do I know about the future? I don't know. The end of days, I don't know, but I know that they're coming. And those are the things that he sang about.
I don't mean to be rude here and start trying to judge, but I think that probably Ozzy Osbourne has a better chance of going to heaven than Kenneth Copeland, for example. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That was a great, great line. Let's go to Trish in Ohio. Hi, Trish. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Thanks so much for doing this tribute tonight. I'm really enjoying it and also getting a kick out of it.
Sure.
To answer your question, my personal opinion, yeah, if you're a late boomer or an early Gen X, Ozzy was really influential in the music that we listened to. I was in junior high when he went out on his own and kind of made his big resurgence once he broke away from Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And he was definitely, I guess a lot of these people are, I say they're telling on themselves.
Mm.
Because he did introduce us to the dark side, you know, with his songs, with just his performances that he did, and the earlier caller saying that he used to throw up the devil horns. Now, you say that that means something else, and I'm sure it does, but when you're 13 or 14 years old, that was the devil horns to
right.
us. And
well,
we were
there are people
throwing up.
Yeah, well, there are people that freak out. They freak out over that. And in fact, there was a war going on between Ronnie James Dio and Gene Simmons over who did that first. And the thing is when Gene Simmons did it, it was I Love You. It's the death sign for I Love You. He let the thumb not cross into the fingers. But it was you know, the other way around with everything else. I mean, you go to a rock concert, you don't see the thumb extended. No. And Ronnie James Dio said, well, I did it because my grandmother in Italy used to do that all the time to ward off the devil. And that's why he did it. So, I mean, it has been around for a long time, and take it for what it is, but people freak out over that. If you even try to do I love you with the fingers, they think you're doing the devil horns.
That's right. Also on his one album, Speak to the Devil, I don't recall what the ancient language was, but it was an alphabet all the way around it. And me and my friends went to the library, looked it up, and that's how we used to write our notes in those. It's almost like a rune symbol.
Uh-huh.
And we would write our notes. We practiced it and got all the letters down. We used to write our notes in that. We used to throw up the devil sign. We were hellions, man.
Right.
So, yes, Ozzy did. And also, he introduced us to Aleister Crowley. I mean, but when you say that that song is making fun of Crowley, he is, because he pronounced his name incorrectly.
Sure.
It's not pronounced Crowley. It's
Crowley.
Crowley.
Yeah.
And being a Britishman, he absolutely knew exactly how to pronounce his name, but he didn't.
Right.
So I think because he was so impolite, I laugh at it now, because like I said, we were heathens. We got all into it. And I'm sure that these people now that are praying for Ozzy, if they're truly praying for him, like I met him briefly, you know, he was signing an autograph in 92, I think it was, on the No More Tears tour.
Right.
And he, at that time, he had just been diagnosed with something, and he wasn't feeling well, but he was still touring. I mean, he was just, he never stopped, even all through all kinds of illnesses. And he was sitting at the table, and there's like, oh gosh, there was over hundreds of kids there getting their CDs signed. And he's just sitting there, and he looks like he's half asleep. And me and my friend walked up, and we have roses to give to him and the band. And he just looked up, and he smiled. He goes, oh, thank you, love. You know, it was just so, he really was a good soul.
I envy you. That would be amazing.
I just think he made money off of the Satanic Panic, you know?
Well, I mean, take advantage of it. You know, if you want to make money, you got to play into it a little bit. I think a lot of acts do. Anything from, I mean, Alice Cooper did, obviously, and so did, Kiss and several other bands like that. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
So, do you all have any advice?
You have to have a desire. You really want to practice, man, perfect.
I just want to tell you, because I may never see you again, that you are my favorite musician in the world.
Give me a hug.
What would you say to those fans that have stuck with you through the highs and the lows?
The bottom of the line is, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be sitting in this house now. I wouldn't be talking to you. They're so loyal. I mean, you can imagine in 50 years what's come and gone. You know, it's just remarkable.
I met Ozzy when I was around 18, and he came into my father's office for management with Black Sabbath.
Love at first sight?
No, not at all. I was like, oh Lord, look at them. And they were all odd and hairy, and because I'd been used to dealing with artists that were American, and they were slick, and they were really put together, and they smelt nice.
I will not have dope smoked in my house or drugs of any time in my house. Quit this smoking, excuse me. I ain't gonna lead to anywhere but bad places.
No way. Ozzy Osbourne.
Death dust. Take it from me. Don't snort that stuff.
We weren't planning on snorting it.
Yeah, we're gonna mix it with water and hydrate.
It's got electrolytes, which your body needs.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Whatever you do, don't try free-bracing it.
Free what?
And never, ever inject it.
And how would we even...
And don't even think about boofing it, you little perverts.
Boof?
You know, where you stick it up your...
I don't drink because I like, crave it. I don't smoke pot because I crave it. I do it because I choose to do it.
Yet. When I started drinking and taking spot, I wasn't addicted yet. But as time goes on, I became very addicted.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero tonight, a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. And the question, why are so many people worried about his soul? People all over Reddit, people all over 4chan or 5chan or whatever these... I mean, there are plenty of others. I don't think 4chan even exists anymore, but I'm just saying Reddit, Quora, all these places are discussing whether or not it's okay to pray for Ozzy because they think he's going to hell. I just wonder, why are so many people concerned about his salvation? Let's go to Cheryl in Kentucky. Hey, Cheryl, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello.
Hi.
It's nice speaking to you. You have the most fabulous voice.
Oh, thank you.
I heard the question you brought up several times about why so many people concerned about his soul. Well, we have a lot of Christians. It doesn't look like it sometimes, but we have a lot of people in the world that belong to God and listen to God. And like I always said, if I pass a homeless person, a person on a motorcycle, or see an ambulance, I say, God, go to those people, whoever they are involved. And I think this Ozzy was the highest point of distributing evil, satanic stuff. He may have met his Lord and confessed. That's between him and God. It's like I asked this good Catholic sister one time, I said, you know, I was hung up on suicide. I thought I had a good friend, 22, to commit suicide, and it bothered me because I was always taught that if you commit suicide, you cannot go to heaven. So I asked her about suicide, and she said, if you were standing on a bridge and you have it in your head to jump, who knows what happens between the time that you jumped and the time that you hit the water. God says you can be forgiven in the twinkling of an eye, and that is fast. God may have forgiven Ozzy before he passed. No one will ever know that. But as far as wondering why so many people are concerned about his religion, that's it. There's a lot of good Christian people in this world, and they don't want anyone to be lost. They do not want anyone to be lost.
So what you're saying is it's a good thing, not just because it's Ozzy Osbourne, but because it's a good thing to pray for anybody's salvation and make sure that they're blessed and make sure, like, the family, that Ozzy's family, Sharon and the kids, you know, are blessed.
Yes, 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 and comfort them and go with his spirit and lead them and guide them and protect them in all that they do.
Right.
You cannot, like my dad always said, you plant potatoes, you're going to get potatoes.
Right.
You cannot straddle the fence.
Right.
You have to be, you know, either black or white. Gray doesn't do. Straddling the fence doesn't do.
Right.
You've got to let your light shine, and so be it. And I do pray that he had time to ask forgiveness, and I pray that God has mercy on him and compassion and forgive him, because hell's a terrible place.
Can you?
I do not want.
Can you tell me? Is it okay to ask? How old are you?
86.
You're 86.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And you have that, you got that forgiving of a heart at 86, right? That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'll be 87 here in September 1st.
It's not always the case that you have great-grandma talking about Ozzy Osbourne. You realize this. You know, it doesn't always happen. But then again, you know, I keep saying, you know, I'm 61, and I love Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes.
So yes. I guess he, an all-ages show. I know they do.
Or he wouldn't be where he is. He's right. Made thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, he did.
But that doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
I have my deepest sympathy for people that depend on materialistic things of this world.
Right.
I had one child. God took him when he was 42. And that's been 3 years ago, and I've had trouble handling that, and I questioned God about it because he was a superhuman being, a superman, and father.
From what I gather from you, it hasn't darkened your heart all that much. Not at all, right? I mean, you sound like a forgiving soul. I mean, you know, what you just said about Ozzy Osbourne was beautiful, saying that, you know, that we don't know what happened between the time, you know, he died.
No.
And so maybe, you know, even if, because he did admit, he said, you know, I'm not the greatest guy in the world, and I've done some things I'm hoping God will forgive me of. And that's being humble. And I think the humility is something that we need to think about, because a lot of people aren't humble. They'll scream and yell and they'll curse God even to the end of their days. So I think that,
And people will not, people have no compassion anymore. They have hardened their hearts, just like the Word says they will do. If people would read the gospel, they would see the newspaper, the TVs, Hollywood, they would, music interest. It's all there, right. And it is all coming to pass. There's nothing that we can do about it. Now, I pray, like I said, I have some neighbors that I don't approve of the way they live. I think they're living differently, but I pray for them.
We're out of time, but I just want to tell you, I appreciate the fact, Cheryl, that you are a good Christian. I can feel it. I can hear it in your voice. I can sense it, and I can sense that you have a forgiving soul, obviously. And that's something that we all need to work on with humility and love in this world that seems to be crazy. Tonight, a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne and why people are so concerned about his salvation. A lot of people on the internet wondering if they should pray for him or whether or not he made peace with God before he died. 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Okay, there was a Crazy Train Kids. I was looking at this. It's proof that, you know, teachers can teach cool things to kids, especially when it comes to music. Give a listen to this. Xylophone, by the way. That makes me smile. I don't like that's great stuff right there. Let's go to Isaac in Connecticut. Hey, Isaac, you're on Ground Zero.
How you doing, Clyde?
Doing well.
So if you ask me, the band Black Sabbath, they're modern-day prophets, if you ask me.
Okay.
If you listen to those songs, Planet Caravan, Electric Funeral, War Pigs, Iron Man. I identify with Iron Man because my mother has always told me. I don't know if you know this about me. I never met my father.
Right.
But he floated the idea of naming me Iron. And how cool would that have been to been going through life as Iron? I kind of do take on that as an alias sometimes.
Hmm.
But
just call yourself Iron Man Isaac. That would work for me.
Iron Isaac Ignacio. That's me.
Ignacio. Yeah, that's good.
Ignacio. Yeah, Ignacio. I don't. Well, the name Ignacio is it means ignition, and I don't know if you noticed that about my persona. I kind of have an
ignite arguments with me. I'll tell you that, man.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And my first name, which is Hebrew, is Isaac, means laughter. So,
yep.
You know,
we have a good laughing argument. You're a laughing fire starter. Well, you know, and I kind of look back at some of the Black Sabbath songs and. And, I mean, just the idea of their style and, you know, some of the lyrics. I mean, I actually I've heard different styles of Black Sabbath music played in different ways. And every time you hear them, not heavy metal, okay? I even heard what Black Sabbath would sound like if it was played, like, at a Ren Fair, you know, at the turn, you know, during the times of the kings and the swordsmen. And it's very much about paradise and God and... And it's a warning of the evils of the devil and about the second coming and about the Armageddon days. I mean, that's what War Pigs is about. But I mean,
it's a foretelling.
Yeah, a foretelling of what that's about. In fact, there was a different version that they did called Walpurgis, which is even more darker than the one they did before. Just basically talking about the aftermath of Armageddon, which was remarkable.
Wait, you're saying there's a different version of War Pigs?
Yeah, it's called Walpurgis. You need to look it up. It's Ozzy basically, he's improvising. They were doing the lyrics to the song, and it's the lyrics that weren't put on the original War Pigs. They called it Walpurgis, which is an alternative to War Pigs. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. But I really believe that was a prophecy. That Paranoid album was prophetic.
Yeah.
Modern day prophecy.
Sure. I would agree with that.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that's all I can say, you know, and, I don't know.
I just think you're right. There are a lot of things about it that I would agree with that you said, you know, that even when Ozzy left, I think Black Sabbath continued to do a lot of songs about foretelling of the future. You know what I'm saying? Ronnie James Dio, you know, he had that moment where he was also, you know, creating that melodic kind of mysterious sound as well. So, yeah, I mean, something about Black Sabbath, but there can be no other Ozzy Osbourne. He is one in a million. He's one of a kind. No one can imitate him. He cannot be copied in any way. I just, you know, find that amazing. Let's go to Gil in Michigan. Hi, Gil. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Just want to say, man, this is an awesome tribute show. It's going to go down in history.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're doing an excellent job.
Thanks.
Hearing all these things. I was going to say, I'm going to give you a clue. One of your guests that you had on earlier this week, I found out that Ozzy died because of him.
Huh?
His name starts with A. Let's see if you can pull it up.
I know. I drawn a blank all of a sudden now. A.
Alan Jones
Alan Johnson? How the hell do you figure that? What are you talking about?
Alan Jones.
Alan Jones or Alex
Troy,
Jones?
You had him on. He's talking about finance.
He's the gold guy. He's one of our favorite sponsors. He's amazing.
I was on the phone with him. He's moving money from one account that I got screwed on. He told me.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh my gosh, Ozzy Osbourne just died," and I'm like, "What?" And we got into a kind of a similar conversation to what's going on with your show tonight. You know, he said, man, you know, he's, you know where he is. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you know, he's probably right next to Hitler right now. And I
said, really?
Yeah. And I said, dude, I disagree. That's not up to us. You know, that's
but
between
see, that's
him
the
and
thing
God.
Is that, you know, he, along with several other people who I know, all are concerned about his salvation. Now, why? Why one man, one entertainer? I mean, I didn't hear a bit of this about Elvis. Nobody said, I wonder what happened to Elvis. I wonder why Elvis, you know, whether or not Elvis went to hell or went to heaven or
well,
whatever.
I think it's because what he built his career on. But again,
scaring
people?
That would mean Bela Lugosi went to hell. That would mean Boris Karloff went to hell. That means that Rob Zombie's going to hell.
No. You're not understanding. It's kind of like you brought up Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay. He is a born again Christian.
Yes, he is. I know.
And you know, there's certain songs that he doesn't do. His parents were missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes back to your roots. You know, there's a scripture that talks about you'll go back to what you were. And I don't know. I can't give you an answer why people are debating this. It's between him and God. I actually, about 3 or 4 years ago, went with a buddy of mine and we to a theater and we watched a documentary where Ozzy was on. And he said, you know, I believe in God. I don't know why people, you know, I believe in Jesus. And I don't know why.
He pranced around in tights singing about Aleister Crowley. He dressed up as a werewolf and was in a video. And then he did Blizzard of Oz looking like some guy who just got the crap kicked out of him at a mental institution. I guess that's enough to basically wonder if your soul's going to be saved by Jesus or anyone else for that matter. But I always was taught that Jesus saves souls. But I think the reason why, and this is what I think, and I don't know, I want to hear what you think. I think the reason why people are so concerned about his salvation is because deep down, we love Ozzy Osbourne. All of us universally love him. I mean, we've seen different facets of him, from the madman in Black Sabbath to the madman in the Blizzard of Oz to the Osbournes, him yelling, Sharon! Being a helpless old man. And the fact that in the end, he gave a last show, last performance, and you knew he wanted to stand up, but he couldn't. And it was so sad to see his final days as a singer. He put it all to the end. He fought all the way through it. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Tonight, a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. We'll be back with more. Keep it here. Don't go away.
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. We're looking back at the life and death of Ozzy Osbourne. Talk a lot about Black Sabbath, talking about how fascinated I am. I don't know if I'm that surprised, but I'm fascinated at the fact that there are so many people online right now in the chat areas asking questions about Ozzy Osbourne's salvation and whether or not he's going to go to hell, whether or not he's going to be forgiven, whether or not he had a deathbed repentance. I was very concerned because, I mean, there are many times where I've read, in fact, in 1992, the New York Times had published a story about how Ozzy was a practicing member of the Church of England, and he prayed before every concert. And so a lot of people saying, well, he's going to burn in hell and all this. I mean, I don't know if – I think we should be offended to a certain degree because I think it's wrong to, you know, do this type of pipeline thinking to darker thoughts. Most young people today, I mean, if you look back at the 70s, you look back at the 80s, Ozzy was just going with the times, right? I mean, if you look 60s, 70s, and 80s, you look at, like I said, I was talking about, you know, Charles Manson. I was looking at all these different things that happened. Many people were scared anyway. And I mean, when you're hearing songs on the radio like, "But Daddy, what if the wind stop blowing?" You know, songs like that that are really, like, you know, really cutesy and, you know, "I got a bag of roller skates, you got a brand new key," you know, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden Ozzy comes in and Alice comes in and Kiss comes in. And all of a sudden people are saying, this is interesting. This is shiny. And most young people today, especially others in the 70s and 80s, became fascinated with only the trappings of Satanism because of all the societal obsession from Christian groups. Oh, well, the Christians hate it. Well, I love it. That's big. I mean, there's always Satanists appearing. When I was a kid, I remember Phil Donahue. Yeah, they would have, Anton LaVey. What was her name? O'Hare. She was a huge atheist. They'd have her on the show. Gene Simmons of Kiss was decked out in his demon gear. He appeared on the Mike Douglas show. That was a show my mother watched, okay? And I know that the plan there was to scare every mother to death when you see some guy decked out in demon makeup, you know, with big boots. You know, Tody Fields, who was with him, was laughing at him, saying, oh, he's a good Jewish boy, hiding behind all that makeup. See, that's the thing, is that people, they know the rub, okay? Some people do. But there's problems here when a lot of psychologists wanted to make money off of the devil, just as much as rock stars did. And we see psychologists alarming parents, telling them, well, here are some signs that your child might be involved in the occult. And this included things like wearing black clothes, listening to heavy metal, lighting candles, incense, pentagrams, other spooky stuff. It resulted in a lot of kids being straight up abused for listening to Ozzy Osbourne. Abused for listening to Alice Cooper, Kiss, or even Styx. I mean, I remember my mother, this was so weird, my mother would not let me have Black Sabbath posters on my wall. But she eventually let me deck out my entire room in Kiss pictures. I had a huge poster on my ceiling. I had every part of my wall had a picture of Kiss somewhere. And yet she wouldn't let me put up Black Sabbath. I don't know. It was just one of those things. So, I mean, it's a matter of what you think is evil and what isn't evil. Whether, you know, and a lot of people assume that if you liked metal when you were a kid, you were just a social degenerate or a juvenile delinquent. Now Ozzy is gone. He's passed away. And an era has passed. Metal Stadium Rock is going the way of the dinosaur. And looking back, all that fear of devil worship, well, it's dissipated now. But not for those who still believe it's okay to kick a man's spirituality after he's died. And that's why I'm curious as to why people even care about. I mean, I was reading an article today by Owen Anderson of Real Clear Religion. He wrote this opinion piece about the Christian condemnation of Ozzy Osbourne and his family, saying, can Christians make moral judgments about public behavior? Yes, and they should, and they must. Anderson said that unless Ozzy placed his faith in Christ, he's not at peace or at rest. You know, and to be a Christian is not, well, in my opinion, to have carte blanche to be a smug moralist, especially when someone like Ozzy, who a lot of people listened to and revered and loved, has died, and he died a painful death. The brilliant idea behind Black Sabbath was the people who enjoy old horror movies would be like the same people who would like their music. The name Black Sabbath was inspired by a 1963. It was an Italian-French-American horror film called Black Sabbath that starred Boris Karloff. It had nothing to do with Devil Worshipper, Devil Worshippers or anything. It was a horror movie. I mean, don't you find it all interesting that these days that people can no longer accurately judge character? Seriously. I mean, especially when it comes to politicians. It seems to be like this borderline example of lack of object consistency, where a person has a difficult time averaging out another person's behavior and only looks at the last thing they did to assess them. You know, oh, well, he did this. He dressed up as this. He did that. That made him evil. I mean, it's probably due to the indoctrination process we're all experiencing now and a lot of the indoctrination process that we've been experiencing for years. But this judgment fad, this cancel culture is harming us. And it's also changing the minds of young people about Christianity. They want to abandon ship because you know why? They see hypocritical judgments like this as a weaponization of religion. I call it being Christ-haunted. People who rather use the Bible as a weapon than use it as a way to convert people over to Christianity. Because Christianity is the single largest religion on the planet, but Christians are slowly declining in a share of the world's population. You know what? Islam is the second largest, and it's growing fast. It's gaining. Now, the third place goes to those who are part of the nuns. No, I'm not talking about the sisters. The nuns are the none of your business and none of the above, meaning it's none of your damn business what religion I am, and no, I don't practice any particular religion. And it's not because of a lack of faith, it's because a lot of people are disengaged and apathetic, and they see these so-called judgmental Christians, and they don't want to be associated with them. I mean, I don't want to be a part of anyone who weaponizes religious belief. I mean, even that... The 86-year-old caller who called, she was not even cruel in the least. She was speaking truth from her Christian spiritual nature. I could feel it in her soul. She wasn't condemning Ozzy. She was just saying it's between him and God. I mean, you know, why? Why come about with all these justifications of hate, racism, sexism? I mean, it's like it's almost like virtue signaling, but it's kind of empty and sick and hollow. Tonight we pay a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. Passed away yesterday at the age of 76 from Parkinson's and was a great rock and roll icon. And I think he deserves a little bit of time. And I find it interesting that people are very concerned about this man's salvation. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Mike Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero tonight, a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne, who passed away yesterday. And, I mean, lyrics like, you know, learn how to love, forget how to hate. These are things that were in Ozzy's music, and I have a feeling that a lot of people misunderstood him because he had such a heavy gothic look to him, the way he performed, what he did. But he certainly had a way about him, and I think people's concerns about his salvation are based primarily on the fact that they love him. They love the guy, and they were hoping the best for him even after his death. Let's go to Richard in Oregon. Hey, Richard, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I just wanted to mention that I remember a few years ago you were doing one of your Ground Zero lounges, and I had the fortune of meeting you, and you commented on my Ghost t-shirt, which took me by surprise. What I wanted to say is Ozzy, he's one of the greats, a huge fan of his. I personally don't think his salvation is anyone's business but his own, you know?
Yeah, but why do you think the country, or why do you think the world, people on the internet are all talking about whether or not he's going to hell or whether or not he's going to heaven, whether or not he prayed for forgiveness on his deathbed or repentance on his deathbed? I've never seen this for anybody, not even for like Freddie Mercury or Elvis or anybody. It was all about Ozzy and whether or not he's with God or he's in peace right now.
To be honest, I think it's, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I think it's ignorance of the heavy metal culture and, the time period where he made it big was, as you were saying, the Satanic Panic, because, I'm a huge fan of a lot of those bands, and, you know, I understand, and I don't think people understand, say, for example, the lead singer Slayer, Tom Araya. Yeah, he looks scary. He looks like a wild man, but, if you've listened to him in the interviews and whatnot, he will discuss how he is a devout Catholic, and a lot of the stuff that not only the band does, but other bands too do, they do that to get a rise out of certain groups, say like the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And then also, a lot of the old school artists like Dio or Ozzy, they conveyed, I think it was either you or another caller, they conveyed the brought up the fact that their music conveyed the evils of things like Satanism.
There's something about Ronnie James Dio. I listened to Rainbow in the Dark the other day, and I was like so caught up. You know, if you haven't heard that song in a long time, listen to it again. You will have a reunion that'll just bring joy. That music that he sings, the way he sings, is amazing. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Oh yeah, yeah, and even listen to Holy Diver. It's kind of the same thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fun fact about Ronnie James Dio, he was also in Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, is Black Sabbath was successful even with, Ozzy and then with Ronnie. But Ozzy was the one, and it's like, I mean, Gene Simmons was being interviewed today, and he was crying a little bit, tearing up over it. And he was saying there was nobody, and he said nobody like Ozzy Osbourne. No one. And I agree with him. I mean, you're talking Gene Simmons, the guy that breathes fire, spits blood, and plays guitar looking like a demon. Another guy that wanted to be a rabbi, okay? He wanted to be a rabbi turned into a rock star. I mean, Ozzy says he's a Christian, and of course, you embrace some of the darkness to get some attention. I don't know. I mean, that's why, it was said here Simmons and Ozzy were friends. They were friends. And everything they said about Ozzy, that he was a pure gentleman, and he was a good father, and he did great things for people. He did great things for charity work and other things. And I think, whatever he's done, all the wild stuff that he's known for, I don't think God's going to punish you for being a wild man or, like I said, snorting ants or anything like that. Go to Josh in Florida. Hey, Josh, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, great show, man.
Thank you.
I've called in before, but I've never had so much to talk about. But first, shout out to the chat. I'm not in there now, but I usually go by Ritually Unclean, which is also my death metal solo project.
Okay. But,
the internet stuff, it could be a form of astroturfing, could be a lot of bot traffic, and engagement pods
right,
acting in that. Because it just could just be some psyop, but there was a great documentary called Metal, A Headbanger's Journey,
yeah,
in 2005 by Sam Dunn, and Dio's in there, Tony Iommi,
yeah,
and Kerry King, and Tony Iommi, you know, he had three fingers, and when they were the interview, when they were coming up with the sound, it goes back to that devil's chord, the tritone, the diminished,
yeah,
fifth. And it was that sound, and he was like, when Ozzy heard that, he was like, yeah, that's it, man, that's it, man.
Well, Iommi was also trying to capture the sound of the industrial age of Birmingham. He was saying that he wanted the music to sound like the factories, you know, the factory people. And I think they succeeded, especially a man who has three fingers. I think that's amazing.
Yep, and then, you know, I could debate Zeppelin or Black Sabbath, but we wouldn't have metal if it wasn't for those bands.
No.
And I wouldn't be a musician. I wouldn't be playing metal if it wasn't for those bands.
Right.
But also in that documentary, Dio talks about his grandma. I think they call it the stink eye, the evil eye, where you would throw the hand up, and he learned that in Italy. And then Kerry King the singer from Slayer, you know, they had an album and song, God Hates Us All, but they were like, they literally said, obviously nobody wants the devil to rise up, and like it's the imagery.
Well, the Westboro Baptist Church did a song called God Hates the World. You remember that song? I don't know if you ever heard it. It was to We Are the World.
No.
God hates the world and all his sinning. It was just, and I just thought that was Slayer's reply to that. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, controversy over, you know, what bands' messages are and whether or not, you know, people take heed to them. They might. I don't know. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Fear is losing a member of my family because we are so such a unit and so close that we're nothing without the other.
Ozzy Osbourne, the legendary heavy metal singer known as the Prince of Darkness, has died at the age of 76. Osbourne's family saying in a statement in part that he died this morning surrounded by love. Osbourne was the frontman of pioneering heavy metal band Black Sabbath. He went on to have a successful solo career. His death comes just weeks after a farewell concert in Birmingham, England.
Ozzy Osbourne rose to fame in the 1970s as lead singer of Black Sabbath, the band that gave the heavy metal genre a lift with hits like Paranoid. Ozzy was fired from the group for excessive drinking and drug use. He would quickly rebound, launching a long, successful solo career.
What rock and roll has done for me is you couldn't buy it. I mean, it's changed everything for me. Because like 20 years ago, I was just a nothing person living in a nothing existence. I never had any excitement in my life.
There were challenges too. He was accused of being a negative influence on teens and of worshiping Satan. An allegation he roundly rejected.
I have a big heart. All I want to do is make people smile. But there's so many people out there that think that I'm a devil, you know. And like, you know, that's an act that I do. You know, it's show business.
Well, let's get this gig going for me. You know, my wife worked her ass up for a year to get it all organized. And a guy called Tom Morello, who organized all the bands. People like that, you know, make concerts happen. And I don't know what to say, man. I've been laid up for like 6 years. And it's so, you've got no idea how I feel. Man. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And unfortunately, we've come to our final song for ever. I just want to say to you on behalf of the guys in Black Sabbath and myself, that your support over the years has made it all possible for us to live the lifestyle we live. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. I love you. We love you.
Times have changed and times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Time's gone by, it seems to be. You could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home. You took me in and you drove me out. Yeah, you had me hypnotized. I could be wrong. It hurts so bad. It's been so long. Mama, I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to our tribute to Ozzy Osbourne tonight on Ground Zero. We're going to miss Ozzy. I think that's the reason why so many people care about his salvation, is because deep down we all love him. Especially those of us who lived and remembered the concerts and remembered the music and remembered the fights with our parents and everything else about how much we loved Ozzy, how much we loved Black Sabbath, how much we loved just metal in general. I was saying to a friend of mine, I'm hoping that this would open up a new era for it, but I have a feeling that when you're seeing the greats like Ozzy going away, we're probably never going to resurrect it again. Maybe we will. I don't know. I wish we did, because I think there were a lot more people that were happy when we had this type of music playing all over and none of the negative stuff. I mean, that's not negative stuff. I mean, and even though he was accused of being, you know, Satanist, nothing negative coming out of Black Sabbath that I remember. Just a lot of, you know, real life stuff that we dealt with all the time. Let's go to Lou in California. Hey, Lou, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde. Great tribute show for Ozzy tonight, man.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you. What a legend, and always will be. His music will stand the test of time. One thing I wanted to bring up is I heard yesterday an interview on my local AM radio with Pat Boone.
Huh. Yeah, his neighbor.
His neighbor in Beverly Hills, and said that he had nothing but ultimate respect for Ozzy, and he was invited over. They were good, you know, they were great neighbors, and Ozzy invited him to one of his shows. And, I don't know what year this was, but he had to wear earplugs and was asked if he wanted to be in the mosh pit or the spit.
Well,
spit.
You remember that Pat Boone. Pat Boone did his own heavy metal album. You know that, right? Pat Boone did his own heavy metal album.
Yes, and they actually used Crazy Train, Pat Boone's Crazy Train, for his opening for the Osbournes.
I know, it's pretty great. So, yeah, I mean, that's something when you have somebody like Pat Boone who does a heavy metal album just because he's good friends with Ozzy. Let's go to William in Ontario. Hey, William, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, I love the show. Great. This is a great show.
Thank you.
I was thinking, I think the reason people are worried about his salvation is because of all the mythology and the crazy stories about him. Like, I heard a rumor from my friend. Every time we were in his car, an Ozzy Black Sabbath song would come on. He would change it immediately because he would always tell me he's evil. I'm not listening to him because at his concerts, he would ask people to kill puppies before he would go on stage.
That's not
which
real.
I just find.
No,
he was an animal lover.
I mean, he had dogs. I mean, people, there's a lot of hype and glory in urban legend about rock stars, and some of it ain't true, but a lot of it is true. I mean, Ozzy's admitted to biting the head off a bat. He admitted to biting the head off a pigeon, snorting ants with Motley Crue, and urinating on the Alamo. I don't think God's going to punish him for that. I don't know. I don't know. Not my judgment call. Let's go to Evan in Washington. Hi, Evan. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I just want to thank you for dedicating your show to Ozzy tonight, and I want to let everybody know I do not think Ozzy was a Satanist. He wore a cross. He had crosses on his album. Yeah, I heard he was a member of the Church of England.
Yes, he was.
You know, yada, yada.
And, was he ever knighted? Well, I never remember him being knighted.
I don't know that.
Okay, all right. Just wondering.
But maybe, yeah, you probably know more about that than I do.
Okay.
But to all the aspiring musicians out there, if you want to get into music or dedicate something, right, learn some Ozzy tonight. I learned how to play Planet Caravan today.
Oh,
and,
my God.
It's a beautiful riff. So,
well, Ozzy and Randy and all the guys, Geezer, Tony Iommi, yeah, they've all pretty much impressive, their world, impressive world that they've given us. Impressing us to be better musicians and better people. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. John in Wisconsin. Hey, John, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, thanks. I was just wanted to say thank you for having me on. And, great tribute show. I knew you'd mention it, but it was a great tribute show. But I was just remembering Patient Number 9 came out like 2 years ago, and I was like, yes, go, man. I hope I can inspire like that in my 70s.
Right.
And then now I think how many different meanings that song literally has, probably, but and how many venues was Crazy Train played in by someone that never heard the music, like you mentioned, and so wanted to think, and that's
my secret fetish song is of Ozzy's, Perry Mason. I don't know why.
Great.
I love that song.
We great need tune
Perry
every time
I... Mason. That's a great song.
Just great is. Tune. Thanks.
Yeah, I
that
appreciate
song,
it.
Goodbye to Roll.
What's that?
Oh, that song "Goodbye to Romance" is on my mind now. So,
Yeah. I don't know what it is. When I first heard the song Perry Mason, I just thought, this is so funny. This is a great song by Ozzy. I also somewhere had in my Treasures of Trash an Ozzy Osbourne, Donny Osmond duo they did together. And Osmond was trying to keep up with Ozzy, and he was doing a pretty good job, actually. So it was Osmond and Ozzy. I don't remember the name of the song, but yeah, it was amazing.
I wonder what year that was. Well, thanks for having me. I hope you have a great.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, I mean, come on. You remember that commercial that Ozzy did where his kids were downstairs? They unzipped zippers and became the Osmonds. That just killed me. Sharon, that's Sharon. Okay, Moscow Bob. Hey, you're on Ground Zero. Moscow Bob, go ahead.
Hey, the good thing is these people are just like the Romans. They're judging Ozzy for what he looked like, not what was in his soul and his heart. And not all the good things he did for so many people in this world when he lived.
Yeah. Well, I think people, like I say, I mean, deep down, the reason why they're so concerned about his salvation is because I think, you know, a lot of people loved him. I mean, even, God, I remember when he was asked to be at the White House dinner. Remember that? George Bush? George W. Bush?
Yeah.
He was the White House dinner. Of all people, he'd be at the White House dinner, you know?
But look at him. Everyone's judging him by what he looked like and what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's not who he was off screen. You have to judge him by what's in his heart. And what he's, look at how many adults he inspired to be a better in life. And that's what people don't listen. Same thing with Gene Simmons. All these rockers, these medalists, they don't look at what they did outside.
No.
Even look at the Beatles.
Yeah. I mean, people are people, and they have a persona that they perform, and they have a persona they have off camera. And I think we need to understand that people are human beings, and that, you know, we have a lot of people like Ozzy and others that did great things. Let's go to Chris in New York. Hey, Chris, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, my question, Clyde, was, one, was that kind of, like, framed for the time? And, you know, was his lyrics and music at a core satanic as opposed to just like the window dressing?
I think the window dressing was like, you know, bring the devil and the court jester into the court and have him sing songs about God and no one will know the difference because they're too busy looking at the jester's unique and gothic view that sometimes it's not about the messenger, it's about the message.
Yeah, it's fun. During the break, I put on a song by Rob Plant, Everybody's Song, and how different he sounds. I mean, it's amazing that he's still around, but beautiful song.
But do you think anybody, they did the Zozo thing, they did the reverse of Stairway to Heaven. Do you think anybody's going to judge their salvation? I highly, highly doubt it. Let's go to Jim in Ohio. Hey, Jim, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, I don't think anybody's got to worry about Ozzy's immortal soul. I mean, in that one interview that you played at one of the lead-ups, he said himself that it was show business. And I was just reading that in 1970, when they were recording the first album, Geezer Butler was reading an occult book, and he woke up in the middle of the night and saw a wraith at the end of his bed, and he told Ozzy about it. And Ozzy thought it was so cool. He's like, oh, yeah, man, we got to do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that may have been the genesis of the idea. But also, too, Ozzy suffers from the same thing you just mentioned. Zeppelin, Jimmy Page still gets questioned about his associations with Aleister Crowley. I wouldn't call him an acolyte. He certainly has hundreds of books
by
Crowley.
Well, he lived in his house for a while, didn't he? He did.
Yeah, for... And that's a fantastic story. You should look on the YouTube story because they're trying to restore it, but it keeps weird things keep happening there.
It keeps catching on fire. Yeah, I know. It's a pretty scary story. Let's go to James in British Columbia. Hey, James, you're on Ground Zero.
Well, we lost a great talent yesterday. I'm very sorry to hear of Ozzy's passing. And anytime I saw him in an interview, I said, there's one guy I'd really like to sit down and talk to, because I found him very fascinating.
Yeah, he was.
I can only say that, these things happen, but he was a fantastic talent, and his legacy will endure.
No one's going to replace Ozzy Osbourne. He's just irreplaceable.
Absolutely.
James, thank you. Yeah, he's irreplaceable. Melissa in South Carolina, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm so embarrassed. I have to admit, I am 74, and I didn't listen to Ozzy and Kiss and the heavy metal things because I couldn't dance to them.
Okay. Well, I understand that. Yeah.
The songs that made me, I guess, feel upbeat and bouncy and all, but I've learned a lot tonight. I'm so glad I listened because you played, or you didn't play, you said the words of a song. Can you tell me the name of the song that you recited at the beginning of your channel?
Oh, my gosh, now you got me.
Which
song are you talking about? After and Forever? After and Forever? After Forever.
I don't know.
After Forever. Okay. It's called After Forever.
And I have to give this to my granddaughter.
Yeah, After Forever. It's a 1971 song. It was written by Geezer Butler. And it's about, you know, could it be you were afraid of what your friends might say if they knew you believed in God?
Yes. I love that. And then I opened my mind to listening because I sent prayers for Ozzy and Sharon and the kids, because I know they loved each other. They had a very loving family and all that.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know them. And so then I have written down the names of other songs along the way, because I want to listen to these songs.
Yeah.
But what I'm calling about is Cheryl, 86. She trumps me by like 12 years.
Yeah.
And I was melted by the fact that she's listening to your show, Clyde, 86 years old, and she wanted to cheer.
And she knows about Ozzy.
Well, yeah, and she wanted to cheer that a nun told her years ago, because we were taught as Catholic kids, if you commit suicide, you cannot go to heaven. And she was telling about this nun who said there's salvation for everyone, because the nun said nobody knows what happens between the time the person jumps off the bridge,
yes,
and the time they die. I'm blown away.
Well, it's like, when is that moment?
So awesome.
Yeah, when is the moment of peace between Ozzy lifting his spirit to heaven and God speaking to him, or him speaking to God? It's
Cheryl said that about everyone.
Yeah,
Cheryl gave this to all of us, every single person.
Wasn't that beautiful?
On this planet, she gave it to us.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the show tonight, Melissa. And I hope you enjoy your moment listening to Black Sabbath.
I have to learn. I have to learn. And so thank you for that. But again, Cheryl is just so precious, Clyde.
Amazing. It's an amazing show. It was an amazing show tonight. I thank you all for participating in this, because it's, it means a lot to me. I mean, I'm a Ozzy fan. I've been an Ozzy fan for some time. I've been a Black Sabbath fan for some time. As I said, my parents wouldn't let me post my Black Sabbath pictures. I used to put one in my office. We all know, though, that Ozzy was a humble man. He often spoke of guilt, redemption, and the hope of mercy. Though not doctrinally consistent or clearly grounded in Christian theology, his statement suggests that he was a man aware of his moral failings and uncertain about where he stands with God, yet he hoped for peace and grace. I see him as a humble man who wonders just how God is going to deal with him and how he will be judged for some of the vices he had. We all know that Ozzy wasn't perfect. It does not warrant some smirky fool holding up judgment by saying he will burn in hell. I hope he rests in peace. Remember, keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it at Ground Zero. Stay tuned on the Ground Zero Network for another special Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath tune from Chris France. Good night, everybody.